From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I'm your host, Richard Burton. I'm joined by my co-host over in Dallas, Pazuzu. Say hello, Pazuzu.
Pazuzu.
And I'm joined by my co-host over in Colorado. Say hello, Kakumo.
Hello.
And also joined by the Armenian madman, Garo. Say hello, Garo.
Actually, it's the Chakda madman from now on. I'm sorry.
Don't make me laugh. I'm Richard Burton. I never laugh. Anyway, have you all met each other before? Pazuzu, Kakumo, Garo, Kakumo.
Pazuzu,
this is Garo, Pazuzu, Kakumo, Pazuzu. Oh God, it's driving me up the wall. I've said this 400 times throughout the course of the film.
I am Pazuzu.
I have a question for you, Kakumo.
Yeah.
Wasn't your name the title of a Beach Boys song? Oh, that was Kokomo. Don't worry about it. That was a shit joke.
Kokomo,
I'm not very good at humor.
You must growl like a jungle cat.
One moment, please.
Not enough locust experts.
Do you hear the sound? Oh, God fucking hell. We're talking about exorcists.
There was a Muslim catch cry, isn't it? In the mosque?
Oh, I think that's what they say before they cut someone's head off on TV.
Before they cut John Borman's head off. All right.
Who the fuck is on this show?
All right. Anyway, so bringing it around. Okay, got myself Stuart here along with Hunter over there in Ebola Town.
Ebola Town represent.
Have you got it yet?
I've tried. I've really tried, but I haven't.
No symptoms yet. No?
I mean, I was shitting blood earlier today. But I think that's because of alcoholism, you know?
All right, got John over there in Colorado.
Right,
yeah. And Mr. Garo is back again. What's going on, Garo?
Hey, I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shock
horror. I listened to this show. You know, I'm not one of those people that just comes on and doesn't listen to the other episodes. So I have two bones I got to pick with you, Mr. Stewart. First off, I listened to the episode with you and Leslie, and I heard your little plan about how you're going to try to stick me with the bill when you two go out. I heard all about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard all about it. So. Huh.
So do you want you don't want to come for drinks then?
No, I do not. I'm going to bow out of that. And then the other bone I got to pick with you is when you do an impression of me on the show. It's not really an impression of me. It's an impression of Andrew Dice Clay doing an impression of women.
Well, I just say it the way I see it. That's all.
That's all I had to
put. Oh, that's it? Okay. Oh, jeez.
That's it.
To quote that line from Jack Ty, I've been yelled at worse than by queers and steers, or queers and old ladies.
Because Garo's on, that means we must be watching a piece of shit. Fortunately, it's not a Rob Zombie piece of shit.
Yeah. Not until he remakes it.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's really looking forward to when we finally do 31. That's the one people are waiting for.
Oh, yeah. That's the most anticipated episode of MMC, I think. Yeah.
You know what I love?
You guys will have fun with that.
Yeah.
You know what I loved about that? I saw like a week or two ago that Rob Zombie was like, "Oh, I'm expanding the time that you can donate to my movie," you know, like which means that probably not that many people are donating to it. Because the funny thing is, it's like every other campaign where people raise money, like a crowdfunding campaign for a movie, you can see how much money they're trying to raise and how much money they've actually raised. Rob Zombie's movie is the only one where you can't see either of those.
Ooh.
Oh, really? He's blocked the progress.
What's he got to hide?
Exactly. What is he hiding? Is he actually raising the money for Sherry Moon Zombie's tattoo removals instead of the actual movie?
Yeah.
I think he's raising the money to try to buy people back into his band. Did you guys see that piece where he was talking about how he doesn't understand why musicians, like, they always sabotage their careers. They're in my band, and I tell them, you're making more money than you've ever made, so you should be grateful to be here. And he sounds like a complete dick. And I'm like, no wonder they don't want to make music with you. You may pay them well, but you sound like a tyrant and an asshole.
Exactly.
And a condescending prick, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, who wants to hear the word yes 16,000 times a day? I mean...
Oh, I know.
Drive you nuts, you know?
Yeah. John Five's hearing it in his sleep by this point.
Could you imagine if Rob Zombie did a remake of Exorcist 2 and he put the words Pazuzu, Kukumo, and yeah? That's all the script would be.
In fact, I think that is in a Rob Zombie song. Pazuzu, Kukumo, yeah!
Yeah!
Come on, we all know that would is. We wouldn't know. You all know that wouldn't be all that would be in the screenplay. There'd also be 10,000 fucks. 5,000 shits.
Yeah.
30,000 motherfuckers.
And then a slow-mo shootout to a Lynyrd Skynyrd song.
Motherfucking locust.
Yeah.
What's up with these motherfucking locusts coming into my motherfucking motherfucker apartment? Chicken
dicks. And then there'd be at least one Motown song somewhere on the set.
Yeah.
Or a funk song.
And like, Linda Blair would be wearing a Kiss t-shirt.
Richard Burton would have long hair as well.
Love Hurts would play at the end when he does the dance.
And Stagg would be in blackface playing the role James Earl Jones.
No, that I think you just get Ken Faree for that part.
Ken Faree? That's his go-to black man, isn't it?
Yep.
He's the go-to black guy.
Yeah.
He's the Sam Jackson of the Rob Zombie movie world.
He's Joe Grizzly, bitch.
Oh dear. Already, what, 5 minutes in, we're already talking about Rob Zombie.
We can't avoid it. There's some sick obsession here, guys. I don't know what it is.
Do you think it's free?
Well, this movie is proof that bad films didn't start with Rob Zombie.
Oh no. In fact, I think I would say it's proof that there's somebody who's made movies worse than Rob Zombie. You know?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
You don't think so? Oh.
No. Like, there's actually stuff I kind of liked in this movie, and it doesn't go anywhere with the story or anything. Where, as opposed to like Lords of Salem, where I hated every single fucking minute of the movie.
Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about it.
Yeah, like on Exorcist 2, I actually liked the look of the film. I actually liked the production design. I thought the movie kind of reminded me of like a Italian ripoff of the Exorcist.
Oh, it certainly felt like one. I mean, Exorcist 2, directed by John Borman, who's famous for like Point Blank, Deliverance, Excalibur. He made
Zardoz,
this
which Zardoz. Was a big influence on this.
Yes.
And Zardoz, I think Zardoz is a great movie.
I'd say Zardoz is very interesting. I've only seen it once, but
I've seen it once in a theater, and me and my friend walked out of it going, that was great. And because it also helped that the whole rest of the audience hated it. And we're just like, what's wrong with these people? Why are they all fucking assholes? Zardoz is awesome. And I'll tell you this much, because Zardoz was kind of like him making Lord of the Rings, because he couldn't do the right
well,
to doing
He wanted to do Lord of the Rings, yeah. And he made that instead.
Yeah, I think Zardoz is better than the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies. I'm saying it right now.
No.
I'm saying it.
Oh my God.
You just upset 15 million midgets.
The midget community is very upset with you, Darren.
Actually, I pissed off every goat fucker in New Zealand. That's really
It's sheep, you asshole.
Oh, yeah, sheep. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, New Zealanders. You fuck sheep, not goats. You're not perverts, okay?
They listen to Lord while they do it, too.
Don't ask me to edit that part, because no one in New Zealand listens to this show, so it's like... The only country I've checked on the map that we've had listeners from, the only one that hasn't listened is New Zealand. Literally. We've had Ebola patients in Sierra Leone that have listened, but nobody in New Zealand bothers. So, no great loss, eh, bro?
But what do you, like, Zardoz, I think Zardoz is a, like, weird fucking movie, but I find it interesting because it's so weird. But, like, where do you guys fall on Borman? Because I really like movies like Point Blank, Excalibur, I enjoy Deliverance, but there, I've also seen movies that are pretty bad, like Tailor of Panama, and, you know, one of my friends has a special hatred for Emerald Forest, but where do you guys fall on
John? I think he's actually a bit of a bore, man.
We gotta get a drum beat.
That's right. What do I find? How do I find Point Blank? I did not like. I thought it was stupid as shit when I watched it. Deliverance is good. I think it's the only ones I've seen. I still haven't seen Excalibur, and I haven't seen Zardoz either.
Zardoz is awesome. You gotta see Zardoz.
Zardoz you need to see just because it's so fucking crazy.
Is it like Clash of the Titans need to see, or I really need to see it?
I think it's better than Clash of the Titans.
Do you know creatures coming from the sea in it? Because if it is, you can go get fucked.
No. That's all right. There are giant floating heads that puke guns everywhere. What about you, John?
I like Point Blank, but I don't think it's as great as a lot of its...
a lot of people say it's like the best... One of the best movies ever, but I mean, I think it's a really interesting tough guy movie.
It's good. It's not great, but it's good. Deliverance is okay. Excalibur, I've never cared for it.
Oh, I love it.
Zardoz is fun and weird, and... other movies I've seen. I'm not even sure what else I've seen until I saw Exorcist 2. It's kind of like, it was a little uncertain. I know I saw Emerald Forest years ago. I just don't remember having an opinion on it.
Mm.
And that's about it. He's not really an exceptional director in any type of style, you know?
No.
He's not really famous for any... Had he made Lord of the Rings... we would have seen what he was made of, but I don't think he's ever proven himself to be exceptional by any standard.
I mean, he was like, I think Deliverance kind of wrote him a ticket in the 70s, or was it the 70s or late 60s? I don't remember.
71, I think.
Yeah.
But what I don't get is, like, how did he get this gig? Why did they choose him for Exorcist 2?
I don't know, especially considering, like, okay, The Exorcist came out, it was a hit, you know. It practically, it further launched Billy Friedkin into the stratosphere,
it was like the biggest hit in Warner Brothers, I think, at Warner Brothers Studio at the time.
Yeah. Well,
monster hit in 73.
Well, John Borman said he was originally offered The Exorcist, but turned it down because he felt the movie was just 2 hours of torturing a little girl.
Well, and he hated the movie, and he said he hated the script so much he didn't want anyone to direct it ever. he had a hatred for the first movie, and that's the thing, is he hated the first movie, so then he made the second movie. And it's kind of like, it's kind of setting it up for failure, because you think you're better than this movie that you're following in the footsteps
Warner Brothers, Warner Brothers seems to have a history of doing that. There's always hiring the worst directors or something.
Mm. But, like, The Exorcist is this very Catholic movie about, like, faith and struggle and... underneath all this, cool stuff with, possession and... the devil and all that stuff, but it's a very Catholic movie. Like William Peter Blatty is famously very Catholic, it carries over into a lot of his work. But in Exorcist 2, it's
also minimalist. It's very, very minimalist.
Yeah,
like you have to remind people the spider walking scene's not in the original version.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. No, I actually, and I like.
Yeah, that was reinserted. Yeah, I'm okay with the Imagining, what the fuck you call it?
The version you've never seen.
Yeah, that one too, yeah, the version you've never seen. But the original is the best one for me, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was missing off the credits at the start of Exorcist 2. Because it was shot in the 70s by Warner Brothers. You know, the only thing missed off that was a Mel Paso film. Everything in the 70s was a friggin' Mel Paso film. Every film in the 70s by Warner's was a damn Eastwood movie. But,
That would have made the movie at least bearable if Clint Eastwood was the priest and just, like, looking pissed off the whole time.
Yeah, I know. Pazuzu, I kicked his ass.
I wonder if it was offered to him.
Yeah, you gotta wonder. It stars...
Yeah, maybe I'll just stick my foot up your ass.
Right turn, Clyde. That's what this film needed, a goddamn orangutan and Clint.
Really... Yeah. Oh my gosh. Man, I smell a remake right there.
Yeah.
But it's got Linda Blair back, and she's grown up a bit, and it's got Richard Burton. And Richard Burton, he's one of those actors that's like, he can be really good and stuff, and he can be really bad and stuff. I guess it depends on how much booze he was consuming at the time.
Mm-hmm.
With him, I think it was more about the money.
He's kind of like a Klaus Kinski type?
He knew he was offered crap, like the plan, and he would do these, but the paycheck would be good. Like, he did this as a part of a deal to get his own personal stuff made. Because, like, Warner Brothers is just throwing money at this project. Apparently, according to the IMDb, and I don't know how accurate this is the most expensive film in Warner Brothers history up to the time.
Are you fucking kidding?
Really?
I mean,
I'm not kidding.
Jeez. Yes.
I can kind of see that based on how much special effects there are in certain scenes.
Right. Well, also, there were tons of reshoots. Like, there were something like 3 different edits of this movie.
Oh, I can imagine, because I can't fathom anybody looking at this movie and going, oh, this is great.
Yeah, because they actually re-edited the movie like a couple of days after it had been out in theaters because people hated it so much.
Yeah.
They didn't do much of a job to fix it.
It was like the Golden Turkey Awards.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember this movie was number 2 after Plan 9 from Outer Space and the Golden Turkey Awards by Mike and Harry Medved. It was after Plan 9 from Outer Space and the worst movies ever made.
You know what? Plan 9 is a badly made film, but it's not an unenjoyable film.
I was like, this movie's way worse than Plan 9. Plan 9's fun to watch.
Plan 9 I've seen, yeah. It's got to be 20 times.
Yeah.
Plan 9 at least has Tor Johnson walking around.
And Vampyra.
And Vampyra, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And inspired the Misfits, you know?
It did. It really did.
Plan 9 Records, yep. Glenn Danzig's first label.
What bands did Exorcist 2 inspire? Nobody.
I can name White one zombie. Movie. I can name one. I can name one movie that Exorcist 2 inspired, and it's another shitty horror sequel.
What's that?
I remember, not The Ring, but the Japanese original that it was a remake of.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ringu,
yeah.
So Ringu came out. You know, it's a kind of a hit horror movie. And then the director, Hideo Nakata, I think is his name, he made Ringu 2, which is awful. It's like, it's almost Exorcist 2 bad, but it has a lot of scenes where people are hooked up to electrodes or like mind wire things and talking nonsense and like flailing around. It's this mind-numbingly bad movie. And I read this interview with Hideo Nakata where he was talking about Ringu 2 and what a fan he was of Exorcist 2 and how he was watching Exorcist 2 a lot and how Ringu 2 was inspired by Exorcist 2, and it explained everything. Why that movie was so bad is another god-awful horror sequel.
Crazy-ass Japs, I tell ya.
What I don't understand about the movie is, like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the first Exorcist. I understand why people like it. It just didn't really do anything
for
me.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, but I understand why people like it. But the one thing is that the first one was kind of, you know, it was all realistic. And this, with the whole thing with them hooking stuff up, it's not scientifically, it doesn't scientifically make sense at all. They're just making shit up at this point.
Well, and I don't understand, yeah, like, how this therapy center, okay, like, in the movie, Reagan's, like, she's older, and there's a priest who, for some reason, is investigating Father Marin's death and the circumstances around it, but the reasoning behind it doesn't really make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It's like they're, it's everything they're doing is, it makes no fucking sense. And then, like, at the end of the movie, okay, because the whole movie is called The Exorcist, so it's basically about people being, you know, it has to, should be about possession in some way. And then at, like, the end of the movie, there's, like, a Linda Blair doppelganger,
yeah,
in the fucking bed. And it's like, well, yeah, who's that? That is that, like, some person who's been possessed? Or is that, like, some demon? This makes no fucking sense whatsoever. You know? It's just retarded.
And they're trying, like, well, like, and, like, everything's really, like, The Exorcist, is, from a Catholic standpoint, is a very theologically sound movie. Mm-hmm. The Exorcist 2 theologically makes no sense. They're like, well, we got to find out, like, if Father Marin became satanic at the end, and all this weird stuff, and
it's it not just, it's not even Catholic.
No,
like,
it doesn't.
It's like this, like Episcopalian or TV preacher religion. It's like, yeah, and it's African stuff, and it's like, well, why are they bringing this tribal religion stuff to a franchise that was based on a Catholic fear and a true story that kind of became an urban legend? You know, yeah, that, which I think was a big selling point of the first Exorcist, was a lot of people, this is based on a true story, it's real. And it doesn't have any of that. It doesn't have any darkness or subtlety or suggestion, or doesn't even have the cursing Regan with the crazy monster face.
No.
Right. Like, I mean, you have, like, glimpses of it, but it's really, like, she's not even scary. Like, she has this, voice. You know, it's just,
she's not even saying darn it or hooey. I mean, she's not cursing at all. That was one of the big selling points of the first film.
Well, in the first movie, she's, like, stabbing herself with a crucifix and going, fuck me! You know?
Yeah, she's, like, jerking off with it. Because I read the book. I didn't care much for the movie, but I read the book because we had the paperback laying around, because every house had it in the 70s and 80s. And read the book and kind of understood it a bit better, but there's none of that in the sequel. It's like it's made by people who heard about this.
Well, and I don't understand the plot of it. It's like, okay, there's a priest who's investigating Father Marin's death. So then he goes and starts hanging out at this therapy center that Reagan hangs out at for some reason.
Yeah.
And even though she's... One of the funny bits is when Reagan's talking to a girl who's like, I'm autistic.
Oh, you know who that is?
Who?
That's Kimberly Drummond from Different Strokes.
That's not, it's Dana not her. Plato. It's not her.
No, it is. It's Dana Plato. Look it up.
Holy shit, you're fucking right. It is too.
Yeah.
Late Dana Plato.
Yeah, yep. Look at, wow, Darrow bringing it to the table.
Fuck,
damn.
I didn't even pick it.
Man. Yep.
That's what that film was missing. There you go. It should have been Gary Comedy going, what you talking about Willis?
And I love it. She's like, why are you here? I was possessed by a demon, but it's okay. He's gone now. I was just like, what the fuck? But I was just sitting there, and they're like, okay, there's this therapy center, and just a priest can walk on off the street and just kind of hang out and participate in therapy?
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. You know, I was like, isn't that like something for licensed professionals? And the therapy's very magical. It's like, okay, we're going to go away now into a special place, and there's like this droney noise and light, and it just... And then we're off in Africa. We have visions of Africa, and James Earl Jones is dressed up like a locust and puking up like fruit or something. I mean, it sounds awesome when you describe it. It sounds awesomely retarded, but it's just boring. Like,
I liked the look of a lot of the Africa stuff because it was all shot on sets. So it always looked like at any point, like Gordon Liu was going to come out and just start fighting like 20 people.
I thought it looked like a Dino De Laurentiis production or something.
It did a little bit. Yeah.
Like I thought Arnold was gonna come out and chop James Earl Jones' head off or something.
Like it was filmed at Cinecittà or the Shaw Brothers Movie Town.
You know what I found interesting about the movie? I actually think Exorcist 2 kind of inspired Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 a bit. Like, do you remember when they're going into Africa and they have all those kind of point of view shots where it's just zooming in?
Oh,
and
totally. Stuff,
like,
yeah.
Zooming.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I was like, oh shit, that's where Sam Raimi came with up with all that shit. So there was some good to Exorcist 2 in the long run, you know? So
yeah.
And then you get shots of a locust just like flapping along.
I just don't know how Corman read the script and thought this would be frightening. Or was his point to not make a frightening movie? It's like this comic book or something.
But I don't understand what the theme of the movie is. I don't know what the plot is. Like, I didn't understand what the conflict was. I felt like I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy again in a way where I didn't understand what was going on.
You don't understand the rest of these social circles on the web. They're loving the movie.
No, I felt like a space alien. You know,
it's a dog whistle you're not hearing.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can actually sit there, the executives at Warner Brothers, and listen to Pazuzu and Kukumo at least 350 times each and say, "Man, we've got to cut some of those. They just don't need to be there."
Well, I'm like, you
it was
know,
ridiculous.
The child, young version of James Earl Jones gets possessed. He's like, "I am Pazuzu."
That was just
like
dumb.
The demon just announces himself, and it's not even something that has any basis in anything. It's just some made up name. But I'm just glad that Jimmy Stewart managed to find Pazuzu's petals.
Oh, you mean Zuzu petals?
I was talking to my good friend Art Mooney, and he was curious about Zuzu petals.
Yeah. If I can take away from one thing from this film, or a couple of things I should say, the look, like Garrow said, was really good to look at. It was really well shot. And the score by Ennio
Morricone.
Wop, yeah. I can't say his last name. Really.
it definitely helped that Beyond the Door feel.
That's actually what kind of helped make it feel like an Italian ripoff of The Exorcist, was like the ending where the house is like destroyed and you hear the Morricone like chanty music, you know?
No, what's funny is Warner Brothers had already spent money suing Film Ventures, I think, for releasing Beyond the Door in American theaters. And then they made this, like, as if to prove they could make something worse than the Beyond the Door.
Yeah, you're going to make a shitty Exorcist ripoff? We'll show you.
Well, they should have just bought Beyond the Door from Film Ventures and then just slapped Exorcist 2 on it.
Yeah.
And people probably would have felt like they had their money's worth, or that terrible DiMartino movie, what is it, The Antichrist or something. Like, there were several Italian ripoffs at the time. And then even after Exorcist 2... there was The Chosen, which was also called Holocaust 2000. Also now on DVD is Reign of Fire with Kirk Douglas.
I love those fucking Italian titles.
Rips off The Exorcist, The Omen, and The China Syndrome before The China Syndrome was released.
Have you ever seen that movie The Visitor with John Hughes?
The Visitor?
Yeah, that's by the guy who...
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's in the theater.
Yeah, I mean... That movie's fucking nuts, and it rips off, like, everything. Like, it rips off The Exorcist, it rips off The Omen, it rips off The Birds, it rips off everything.
And Neil Bortz has a role.
It feels original.
Yeah, it does.
Was Beyond the Door, was that the Telly Savalas movie?
No, that was Lisa and the Devil, also called House of Exorcism.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That's not my favorite Bava movie.
Oh, I didn't know who directed.
They would also cash in on Rosemary's Baby. That was a big influence. Like, there was like a ripoff with Joan Collins where she's got like a possessed Antichrist she's pregnant with. And I forget what the title of that movie was.
The
like,
Bitch?
The Evil Within or something. No, The Bitch was the softcore thing she did.
Oh, really?
Years after that.
Oh, okay.
Written by her sister.
I'm going to show you what slut you really are, Joan. Yeah, and having said that,
she's in some Maurizio Merli Eurocop movie that's pretty funny.
Oh, really? All right. Speaking of bone picking, I got a bone to pick with Hunter here.
What the fuck?
Would you like to tell the audience what you called Linda Blair in this movie? What she looked like?
I thought she looked like a fucking hamster.
I don't get it.
She looks like a hamster. She's got these beady little eyes and these fat cheeks. Like, I kept thinking she was sawdust was going to come out of her mouth.
I don't get it. I can't work it out. Anybody else get that impression, or is this twit?
Just Ebola, man.
Just Ebola.
I know the selling point seemed to be look at Linda Blair in her nightgown. Like, it's all over the poster.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
Like, she's... Yeah, and the way they photographed it, like, you're going to get some see-through action or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, did you notice, like, at the beginning where it shows her doing that recital? She's wearing, like, the flimsiest top, and she's jiggling it.
I know.
Jiggling, you know?
It's
and
like,
that whole thing with...
So yeah. Grown up,
that whole thing with her, like... That whole thing with her dancing also just seemed, like, inserted into the movie with no reason whatsoever. Like, it's literally two scenes. One of her at the beginning, you know, kind of... You know, practicing for the recital so you can see your tits jiggle a little bit. And then later on, they do it to show, like, her connected with the priest.
Yeah,
but
stone. And she, like, literally, like Muslim style stone.
Yeah. because the priest is getting stoned by a bunch of black people, which I thought was a really good commentary on Ferguson 40 years before it happened.
Oh,
there goes all our Missouri listeners.
See, that's why you guys have me on.
Of course. Yes.
We have Garrow on to inflame racial tensions.
But that whole hot shoe shuffle sequence is ridiculous. It didn't need to be there whatsoever.
It's like intercut, like he's having rocks thrown at him, and she's like, like tap dancing, and everybody, like, she's like having this like seizure on stage and everybody keeps dancing.
You know what? They shoved a bit of that into the actual trailer to sort of cash in on Bob Fosse's Cabaret at the time, I think.
I was about to say it did remind me of All That Jazz.
Yeah, all that jazz. That's all right. It's like we got a younger, more big boob version of Liza Minnelli in this movie. Come check it out. You know what? I tell you what though. I get on the set of this film. Linda Blair was totally taunting Richard Burton. Look at my 18-year-old, filled-out young body, Richard. Don't tempt me, girl. Stay away, heretic.
I wonder if that's when Glenn Hughes was tapping that. I don't know.
Glenn Hughes?
Yeah, Glenn Hughes dated Linda Blair for a while.
Sounds like she dated half the fucking rock scene. She shacked up with Rick James. I mean, that's...
Yeah, she shacked up with Glenn Hughes back... And this was like when he was way into cocaine.
Obviously, she went with a coke, was that, I guess...
I think so.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Well, yeah.
But you know what also made this movie feel like an Italian ripoff was fucking Ned Beatty. Did he feel dubbed to you?
Well, do you know why? Because, like, Ned Beatty's only in the movie for, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But do you know why he's actually in the movie?
Because of Deliverance?
Yeah, because of Deliverance. Because to get an actual good performance from Ned Beatty during that movie, John Borman actually had that dude rape Ned Beatty. So this was kind of like his, you know, hey, come on to The Exorcist. You won't have to get fucked in the ass.
I'm sorry. Like, here's a roll in some money. I'm sorry you had your behindment violated.
Like, if you go up to Ned Beatty now and you ask him about The Exorcist, he will. I'm not about The Exorcist. About Deliverance, he will actually break out and start crying.
That's even worse than the stories about Marlon Brando and that young girl on the set of Last Tango.
Oh yeah, Marie Schneider, yeah.
Yeah, where he's like, I'm going to stick this butter up your ass.
I remember there was a story in the National Enquirer one time that Ned Beatty went back to that location where they shot the squill like a pig scene because he had to face his fear and get over it, and Burt Reynolds took him there.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Are you guys fucking with me? Like, this is...
No, I'm not! It's true!
Was he... You know, he wasn't really raped
by that. I don't know
what
really happened.
I mean, you know what? I could actually...
Like that, you know.
I actually could just imagine that right now, like Burt Reynolds taking Ned Beatty there and just be like, you got fucked in the ass here.
Well, it's just a corner, like, ha-ha!
Remember when I saved you from getting raped?
Yeah, but I read Burt Reynolds' book years and years ago, and he actually talked about Deliverance. And he said that guy who butt fucked Ned Beatty, Bill McKinney, William McKinney in the film. This is a true story. Called him Reynolds. He goes that he was watching, and when that scene was ready to happen, he goes, McKinney had a full blown boner on him. He goes, he was a really weird guy.
I mean, he had to have a really full boner so he could fuck Ned Beatty.
Mm-hmm, yeah. There you go.
I mean, you gotta make way through all that ass, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's a good actor. He got hard for Ned Beatty. I mean, you got to give it to him.
That man was probably a graduate of the Lee Strasberg School.
You know? Yeah, I mean that's dedication.
Yeah. All right.
He later spent the rest of his career like playing thugs in Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he really did. Yeah, he beat Every Which Way But Loose. He was in those two films, the Clyde movies. Yeah.
And little do you know, they actually shot a scene where he fucked Clyde.
And Clint as well.
And now Ned Beatty just plays corrupt politicians.
Yeah.
Who don't get fucked in the ass.
Yeah. There was that deleted scene from Superman as well where Gene Hackman fucked him up the ass.
The show has reached a new low.
It's just like being back in prison with the Luthor.
But what was interesting about that scene was that Superman was actually in the corner jacking off watching it.
and cooking a souffle for Lois Lane at the same time.
All right.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break and hear a few words from this very vulgar individual.
Let Jesus fuck you! Let Jesus fuck you! Let Jesus fuck you! Oh, hi there. Pazuzu here, demon from The Exorcist. When I'm not out possessing 12-year-old girls, I'm listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Now back to the action. What take is this, Billy? 149. God damn it. Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Okay, we're back live.
Back to Exorcist 2 and Ned Beatty. Did anybody feel like he was dubbed? Because it didn't seem like he was talking when I was watching it. It felt like, I don't know, his voice felt
he
dubbed.
He was ADR'd, but it was his voice. Okay. It was his voice, but he was ADR'd.
It's just like none of it matched up. It was really weird.
Hey, Garrow, yeah. he was being puppeteered by William McKinney.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Where the puppet.
Yeah.
It was the inspiration for the Tool song Stink Fist.
Shit. Oh, Lord. Okay, what about people thinking about Louise Fletcher in this film? I thought she was just stone-faced all the time in this. She was terrible.
She was barely even there.
Everyone looked like
her standard performance after One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Everyone looked like they had the look on their face of like, hey, I'm collecting a paycheck.
Yeah.
That was like everyone's performance, pretty much.
It was.
Yeah.
Totally it.
See, the thing is, I don't know if they were trying to make a film that was so multi-layered that when you unravel it, you're going to find a masterpiece, but I kept watching and thinking, it was like Chinese boxes. You keep opening and opening and opening, and there's nothing there in the middle when you get to the end. So, I don't know what the hell they're aiming for with this film altogether.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't know what this movie's about. Like, I mean, I don't know what it's about on a plot level, and I don't know what it's about thematically. I don't know. Like, it just seems so vacuous and empty.
No, it was plagued with reshoots. It's just a lot of last-minute stuff. And trying to find some semblance to justify the budget they spent on effects.
Well, also, they said, I was reading about this, and Linda Blair said that the original script was good. She said the original script was good, but the problem was they kept rewriting it while they were filming it.
But does that happen on most movies?
Yeah, but, I mean, I think this one seemed to be like they were just, like, rewriting everything. You know, to the point where they didn't trust the original vision, and the original vision was probably better than what they shot. Like, because what I heard, they hired a screenwriter, and then John Borman wanted to do changes to the script, and the screenwriter was like, "I'm not doing that. Fuck you." So him and this other writer came in and rewrote the script. So I think probably the script that everyone kind of signed on to was the original script before John Borman and his writer went and rewrote it.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
We need more scenes of people staring at each other in rooms with electrodes on their heads and lights making drone noises.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like Ghostbusters 2. Bill Murray said the original script for Ghostbusters 2 was really good, but then when he went on set to shoot the movie, there was like a totally different script they were shooting.
Did anybody find that contraption that you used between Linda Blair and Richard Burton to be a complete cheap piece of shit?
Yes.
Okay. It was a lamp with two ropes on it.
It was. It was pretty much that. It was like it was worse than a fucking e-meter.
But like, what was amazing to me was like you have these scenes where they're like staring at each other, and then you'll get like Max von Sydow showing up as Father Marin from the first movie. And yeah. Like Max von Sydow probably, he has a fair bit of screen time in this movie. But like his performance is horrible, like horrible. And Max von Sydow is one of those guys. Like I said on Facebook, he shows up on set in a box that says Instagravitas. You know, it's like fucking up frozen pizza. You can't fuck up Max von Sydow. Yet this movie somehow manages to do it. You know, like he just
because there was so much quick editing that he never had time to take.
Well, and everything, even his line readings are so flat. Like there's none of that oomph he can just bring to a line just by saying something.
They paid him to show up.
Yeah, yes, like that.
I heard he really didn't want to do the movie, but they paid him a lot, so he was like, fuck it, it's a paycheck.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, send a kid to college, you know, but like that scene where the Max von Sydow and possessed Reagan are fighting for the chick's heart.
Yeah.
So yeah. Bad. Like, it's not scary. There's no tension. There's just nothing.
It's actually just silly is what it is.
It was so dumb. Like, it's like, oh, we're just, like, gonna... Our hands are gonna go over this beating heart, and we're gonna make angry faces, and... You know?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, in the
Why do they want to kill... Why does Pazuzu want to kill this chick? Why?
And it's not even... Okay, and like, okay, they're saying you gotta rip out Linda Blair's heart, but it's not really Linda Blair. It's like, it's... I don't get what that thing was in the bed that they end up ripping the heart out at the end. I don't understand what it was. It makes no fucking sense.
Well, and I don't understand what it was. Why they went back to the house from the first Exorcist movie.
That's where that thing lived.
Yeah, but what possessed them to go? They're just like, well, we gotta go back to this house... And there's scary Linda Blair in there, and then locusts fly in, and the house rips apart, and, you know...
Because the audience would have been even more pissed if they didn't go back to the house.
I guess so. I mean, it was just this big light show ending that was totally pointless.
Oh,
obligatory house for the poster.
It made no sense. Nothing in this movie made a lick of sense, except for one thing. There was one thing I thought that was really, really good and made a lot of sense, was the demon they wrote in the story is from Africa, which is good because a lot of horrible things come from Africa, like AIDS, Ebola, and Obama. So it made perfect sense that the demon would come from Africa.
I think you're onto something there, Garrow.
Yeah.
That was good writing there in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you just got to the heart of the theme of this film.
Yeah.
Did you think if they ever remade this film, Garrow, that if they wanted to recast the adult Kukumo, they could put your one black friend in there?
I hope so. But really, he's a sellout black. He's a sellout black. Give it to a real black, yeah.
He'd have to live on a... He'd see him eating in Africa, eating ramen noodles, right?
We actually talked about this one time, because years ago, soccer, they were having the World Cup in South Africa. And my black friend was like, because he got into soccer a bit, and someone asked him, oh, you thinking of going to the World Cup in Africa? And he's like, I'm never going to Africa. Why the fuck would I go to Africa? Africa looks horrible. Fuck Africa.
Okay. And that was a black guy. Does he call himself an African American then?
No.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay, then.
No, he doesn't call himself an African American. Listen, here's the thing. He's the most sellout black I've ever experienced. Like, really. I mean, I'm blacker than him, okay? You know? Like, okay, he goes to China, okay? And you know there's Obama fried chicken in China. You think that as a black man, you're in China, you're going to go eat at Obama fried chicken. Nothing's going to keep you away from Obama fried chicken. You know where he goes to eat in China? Kentucky fried chicken. Yeah, sellout bitch going to eat a Kentucky fried chicken instead of Obama fried chicken. Yeah, no blackness in him.
He's an Oreo. Wait.
What kind of Obama fan is he?
He's a lame-ass Obama fan. If I were black, I'd be if I was in China, I'd be eating Obama fried chicken every fucking day.
I'm looking at a picture of this Obama fried chicken. This is a gag, right? This is not real.
No, it's real. It's as real as Hitler fried chicken in Thailand.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's Beijing. Obama fried chicken.
I mean, I don't know. There's something about those Asian countries and doing fried chicken chains based on terrible leaders. I don't know.
Oh my god. What are they going to do? Abbott fried chicken, I wonder.
I know, right? Tony Abbott fried chicken.
Yeah, that'd be like just the...
David Cameron fried chicken. What's up, UK listeners? We know, we got you.
David Cameron fried chicken would just be fish and chips, mate. That's all it'd be.
We ain't got chicken, but we got fish, mate.
Fish.
I think we got some vinegar here and some Saxon. Well, this is some Indiano, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's right, mate. We got fucking Indian fried chicken as well. We like fucking Indian food over here in Britain. You know that, mate, don't you?
It's Indian food if you douse it in curry, mate.
That's it. So fucking these chicken gel freezies, mate, it's just fucking too hot for my British palate. I just can't take the heat, mate.
I just can't take it. Anything. You know, you take some haggis, you dip it in some curry. You know? It's fucking Indian.
That's right, mate.
It's fucking Indian. You take it down to the packy shop, they'll tell you.
Hey, you know what, mate? You know what sort of martial arts they do in India, mate?
What kind is that?
Karachi.
Karachi!
Oh, that was a fucking shit joke, mate.
Pour me another Guinness!
Oh, okay, we just totally pissed off the British listeners, whatever are left of them.
There were some?
They're not now. There may have been some.
If there were any that came back after the Metal Evolution show.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I think. Fuck you, cunts. I'm switching off.
You like that line, don't you? Well, this is the shortest fucking episode with Garo ever.
I know.
Okay, so we're done. I think we should end this with... is this movie as bad as Lords of Salem?
No.
I don't know, guys. No. I was watching this movie just thinking, this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I think Lords of Salem is worse.
So do I.
John?
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Maybe it's just like Lords of Salem's faded from memory.
I think you need to watch it again.
I don't want to. But part of me wants to for perspective, because I think Lords of Salem is just kind of faded back there, and this is fresh. This is like an open wound, whereas Lords of Salem's like a scar that's kind of healed over. It's still got some shitty skin there.
No, Lords of Salem is still a very open wound for me. That'll never heal.
All I know is after I watched Exorcist 2, I kind of felt like, After I watched Lords of Salem, I felt like Ned Beatty after shooting that scene from Deliverance.
Well, and I'm also a big fan of The Exorcist, also, which also makes it a little worse for me. But I did want to ask, what do you guys think of Exorcist 3?
I saw it when it came out in theaters, and to be perfectly honest, I remember not liking it that much. But I can say I don't remember shit about it now. And I saw it when I was like probably like 12 or 13. So I might like it better now, but who knows?
Yeah, I just watched it the other week, as I mentioned on the previous episode that we did.
Yeah.
And it slowed down. It was a lot slower than I imagined. But it was okay. Like I said, George C. Scott was really good. Brad Dourif was really good in it. I liked the interaction between those two when he was in the jail cell. And and also how it was based, pretty much on the Zodiac Killer, the the Brad Dourif section of it. But no, it's a solid movie. It's got less jump scares than I remembered, but the ones they do have are pretty full on as well.
Yeah, I mean the one bit I remember, and I think I mentioned this, is the nurse with the scissors. That's the part that made me like, ah, you know, that's the burned into my head forever.
Yeah, I never saw it. Never saw it.
I quite like Exorcist 3. I don't think it's like a truly great movie. I mean, there's clearly a lot of studio meddling in it, but mm-hmm. you've got great performances in it. It has some really scary moments. I mean, I think it's a worthwhile movie.
Yeah, I'd say give it a watch.
It just should have been called Legion. It should have been. Yep. Shouldn't have been called Exorcist 3. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like Halloween 3. Halloween 3 should have been called Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what'd you guys think of the Rennie Harlan Exorcist 4?
Shit.
It's basically a studio product. It checks all the boxes. Okay, we've got a chick with a fucked up face, check. She curses a lot, check. She pukes up pea soup, check. We've got Father Marin, check. We've got Africa, check. You know, it's a very...
Paint by numbers.
Yeah, it ticks the boxes. Has anybody here seen the Paul Schrader version of it?
No,
I never seen it.
I couldn't bring myself
to see
it.
I've seen either.
Yeah.
The Paul Schrader one's better. It's not a great movie, but it has a really interesting mood and look. Like Vittorio Storaro shot it, and it's more of a moody movie. It's not really centered around shocks and scares, but it was interesting. It wasn't a great movie, but I got more out of it than the Rennie Harlan version for sure.
Okay, and finally, what did you guys think of Repossessed?
Oh, love it! Absolutely love it.
I think it's the best of all the Exorcists.
It should have been the sequel to The Exorcist. So it should have been. Instead of the others. I thought it was fantastic. I rented it out on tape, on VHS tape, when it came out. Like, oh, you know, it's cool. It's got Linda Blair, it's got Leslie Nielsen. And I laughed my ass off. I thought it was hysterical.
But it wasn't as good as Crocodile Dundee. Let's be honest here.
Did we just lose Garrow there for a second? I didn't hear nothing.
Come on, we all know that. Okay, Crocodile Dundee is one of the funniest movies ever made. We can all agree on that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Even a lesser film like Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, classic, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Not as good as Crocodile Dundee, but still, it's kind of like, you know, it's like what's a third movie that's halfway decent, that's not terrible?
X-Men 3.
X-Men 3. There you go. It's the X-Men 3 of the series. Classic.
Well, I did actually suggest remember doing Almost an Angel as a commentary one day or a discussion, but fuck that, not anymore. I'm not doing it.
I think it's got to happen someday.
Oh no.
If we are like, guys, we don't have a topic. Let's get Garrow. Let's do Crocodile Dundee.
I'm not watching that, so you can just do it without me, which is going to be pretty much a waste.
Oh my god! If you weren't here, though, Stu, it would the insults would be way worse. You know it. You know the episode would be way more awful.
Like, I don't know why they'd be any worse if I was or wasn't here. What would be the difference?
I think it'd be worse if you weren't here because we don't have to have accountability for what we say to you.
When has that stopped you before in the past? It hasn't, so I don't know why the difference would be there. But
I don't know.
Yes. Let's
think the Mad Max episode looked downright sensitive. Let me put it that way.
Hey, Stuart. I know how you're not. Hey, Stuart. I know how you're not looking forward to Mad Max Fury Road. How you're against it,
which is going to be the greatest movie ever made.
Do you know who's playing the villain in Mad Max Fury Road?
Let me guess. Bruce Spence.
No, the guy who played Toe Cutter in Mad Max.
Oh, bullshit.
And no, it's true. He's playing the villain in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, no.
Is that an oh no, like, that sounds terrible, or is that an oh no, I may have to reconsider my resolve not to see this movie?
I still ain't watching it. You can go fuck yourself. I'm not watching it. Oh my god.
Mad Max Fury Road is going to be great.
Oh, so it is. Upcoming movie, Mad Max Fury Road. This is going to be such a piece of shit, I tell ya.
It's going to be so fucking good.
Get fucked.
Like, I'm going to get arrested for beating off in the theater while watching it, because I'm going to be in such a state of euphoria. See my mugshot on the evening news.
On our TMZ podcast, and caught beating off in theater to a Mad Max movie.
Mad Max movie. It's so fucking good, he screamed as he was dragged out of the theater.
But really, don't all podcasters beat off in the movie theaters?
Yeah.
No, some do. Some do.
Does Fred Willard have a podcast?
Yes. All right. Well, what we're going to grade Exorcist 2 out of 10. I got to hear this. All right. Go, Hanna. I want to hear you the most. What do you think?
0.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, you give Lords of Salem a 5 and this a 0?
That was bad judgment on my part with the Lords of Salem thing. I was thinking, well, it's worse for a movie to get a 5 because that means it's a nothing burger. But no, Lords of Salem is like, that's a 0 too. That was me trying to put some spin on it, but Lords of Salem sits well in the same realm as this movie.
But, Jesus.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, I may dislike this movie more. I'm not sure.
That's bizarre. All right, Garrow, what do you think?
I give it a 3. There's stuff I liked in it. Like, I like the production design. I like the way it looked. The story's complete bullshit. Everyone's acting like they're collecting a paycheck. But you know, visually. If you turn the volume off on it and put on some music you like, it's a good movie.
Put on like a Goblin soundtrack.
I think it sucks visually too. I don't know.
Really? No, I don't.
Yeah, the first movie looks way better.
I think the second one looks better. Actually, it's got that soft look.
No.
I really like it.
No. The second one. It has all the, I don't know, I hate the modern art apartments. I hate the...
See, I liked them. I liked when, the scenes when she was out on the balcony looked great.
I thought they looked fucking horrible. I hate that architecture. It's just, it's so of the time. It sucks.
Yeah, I got one other thing to bring up about the movie.
Hmm.
One thing that I thought that kind of perplexed me, I don't really know anything about Locust. I'm not a Locust expert. I'm not pretending to be a Locust expert. But how does controlling Locust mean you just wave your hand above your head like you're a cowboy pretending to lasso something? Does that really calm Locust down?
By the way, wasn't it hilarious seeing Linda Blair do that out of context? Just the cowboy movie. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, we're watching this now.
I heard in one version she did a dance. She did a dance and the Locust died off.
Really?
Like she did a dance she was doing in that from that dance academy that she was attending.
Yeah, the movie is badly put together. Badly written. But it's still better than Lords of Salem.
Do you know what's my favorite part of this whole podcast today?
Is
not the things that I've actually learned, except for one, Obama fried chicken.
I can't believe you didn't know.
I never knew of it. I'd never heard of it.
Oh my gosh.
my life revolves around there being an Obama fried chicken.
I'm surprised it's not Garrow's cover photo on Facebook.
Should
it should be. All right, John.
I told my black friend, I said, you gotta go. I gotta know if the chicken is as bad as his presidency.
That's
Yeah.
But no, Garrow, according to Canadians, he's brilliant.
Really? Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, they think he's brilliant. Canadians think he's just being awesomely cool during this whole crisis.
Hey, you got Ebola? Yeah, just come on into the country. Yeah. Sierra Leone, all right. I'm a president of the people now. You know that, don't you, baby? Yeah.
Did you hear what he did? You know, because they're dropping weapons to the to whoever. Yeah, and
ISIS stole them.
Yeah, they drop fucking weapons where ISIS is. It's like, here, ISIS, here's a bunch of fucking weapons. Love Obama.
It's like when Jimmy Carter sent that helicopter out to Iran and it just like crashed.
Yeah.
We have the most idiotic president ever.
Yeah. Let me just cut in line here, baby, at the barbecue place, and I'll pay you for your food. Oh, damn, this credit card don't work.
Where's my credit card?
Hugged and kissed the nurses.
Yeah.
If I use my card, does that mean I have to get kale?
I'll hug them, kiss them nurses, the one's named Nina, and go near that bitch. Self-preservation, baby.
You know, I actually kind of feel bad about Obama. I know it's going to be a little, like, you know, it's not going to seem like it's me talking about the thing. I feel
now, you
bad
know what's going to happen
Obama.
Now? After the show, Garrow's going to say, can you cut that bit out when I seem sympathetic towards Obama?
But though, here, I'll tell you why. It's because we all know that Obama's a gay man. Like, he's not really Barack Obama. He's Barry Satoru. He doesn't want to be president. He wants to be in a bathhouse sucking cock and getting it up the ass. And he can't do it because he's president. The thing he loves most, going to bathhouses and sucking cock and taking it up the ass and having jizz shoot all over his face. He can't do that now. He misses it, and I feel bad for him. You know, he's missing out on the one enjoyment he has in life.
I want everybody to understand right here, right now, that Garrow is a crusader for gay rights. You know?
I am. I feel gay people should be able to get married. I feel that gay people should have the same rights as straight people. And that's why I feel bad for Obama, because he's forced to play the straight guy and suck cock.
He has to remain closeted and in this. He has to live a lie based on the role expected of him. And that, my friends, is wrong. That is sexist. That is homophobic. It's instilled in our society.
Get fucked, right, mate. If you had a wife like Michelle, you'd be a faggot too, seriously.
Did you see there's an actual video where he's talking about Michelle and accidentally calls her Michael? You should Google. There's an Obama speech where he's talking about Michelle and accidentally calls her Michael.
Well, you know, he was having sex with Michael Jackson, so...
But they're saying that, because, you know, because they're saying that Michelle is actually a tranny, and where they think that Michael was maybe her male name. But there's also, if you look up, like, if Google Michelle Obama tranny, and you can see photos of her where she seems to have, like, a bulge in her dress.
Well, I told you about that video that Garrett and I watched, the Manning. The James David Manning one, where he just ripped in Michelle Obama. Did I tell you that one? Where he called her King Kong's little sister?
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we watched that one.
Yeah.
Pastor Manning.
Yeah.
Him and his homo demons.
Yeah.
Manning.
Oh, yeah.
We need Pastor the show.
Oh god, yeah. I actually, I contemplated Garrow when I hit, the U.S. next year, about you and I heading to Harlem for one of his sermons.
I would love that. That would actually be great.
It has to happen.
Could you imagine Garrett, can you imagine a church that would be like an Armenian, an Australian, and fucking all blacks in there? What you doing in there, boys? What brings you to the church?
We'll be like, we think Obama has unleashed the homo demon on the black man. And he'll be like, you two are okay with me.
Have you two come here to steal our black men? Watch out, black women.
Hey, listen, we love black women. We love them. Except the ones that, like, you know, have the short hair and like, have the haircuts like Big Daddy Kane had in 1992. I mean, those ones you don't like.
But, you know what? If he calls you guys white homo demons, you need to say, look, I know what you said about white homo demons and point at Stu, but Gary, you need to say, you never said anything about Armenian homo demons.
Yeah.
Or Chocta homo demons. Excuse me. I forgot which racial minority was useful to you today.
Yeah, I'm a Chocta. Don't forget that. I get money from casinos, bitch.
Oh, by the way, Garo.
Uh-huh.
I really liked your racist writing in Red Dirt Rentals.
Yeah, the anti-white gimmick is really strong.
Yes.
Yeah. I've... Well, you know, I mean, I gotta say what I gotta say, you know, because I feel like, you know, you guys as podcasters, it brings out the worst in you.
Right. We should all just hang up our mics.
All right, Garo, stop plugging your shit.
Dangerous people.
When?
The score is being done right now, so I'm waiting on the score. As soon as the score is done, I can go back down to Florida, and we can finish. I know this is probably one of the longest post-productions ever in a movie, but it is almost done.
Yeah.
And you can check out the trailer on Vimeo. It has nudity in it. Also, I want to plug that I'll be seeing John Wick this weekend at the Reading IMAX Theater at Jordan's Furniture. I don't know what day I'll be seeing it or what time, so if you want to meet up with me, just show up to every show.
Are you going to... Is that the guy who killed dogs?
John Wick's dog gets killed, and then he goes and kills everyone who killed his dog.
Oh, I see. Okay, then.
Yeah.
No, there's that Michael Vick, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Michael Vick is the one who kills dogs.
Oh,
well,
right.
He doesn't kill dogs. He makes dogs kill each other.
Yeah. Big difference.
And then he sends...
much worse.
He's like Iago in fucking Othello, you know?
Oh, and also, can I say one other thing? Because a lot of people, you know, one of the things they love to hear about on this show... But I haven't brought him up in the last few times is Trayvon Martin. I still don't like Trayvon Martin. I still think he's a scumbag. So I just want to bring that up right now for all my fans.
Was a scumbag.
Yeah.
Was a scumbag.
Do we really know that he's dead?
He looked like the possessed child in Exodus 2, actually.
Oh, my God. So you're saying he'd grow up to be James Earl Jones?
Well, if he managed to grow up, which he didn't. But
yeah, thanks to George.
He was 19 and still in high school, right?
And he was dating Precious.
Have you noticed how many, and this is outside of that story, but how many times you're seeing in the news that somebody's in high school and they're like 19?
Yeah.
Or 20? I mean, I'm just noticing that more and more. It's like, I don't know if they were just held back like in the fifth grade or something, but...
I don't want to sound racist, but what is the race of most of these people?
It's actually all across the board, to be honest with you, because I've seen some white trash stories where it's like 19 in high school. What?
Garo is way too late for that sort of disclaimer.
I just wanted...
Yeah.
Let me ask
you. Just not, it was like shame if you were still in high school and you were 18. It was just like...
Let me ask you, do these people look more like George W. Bush or more like Obama?
Look more like George...
Let the record reflect that Garo doesn't like either of them.
Yeah, I don't like...
You know, actually, come to think of it, that possessed kid in Exodus 2 looked like Trayvon with a mouthful of Skittles.
Oh my god!
Well, you know he was never going to use the Skittles to put in his mouth. I mean, let's be serious there. They were going in to make some... Like,
this episode's going to go viral because of the content. Like, and it's not going to be positive viral. It's going to be let's kill these fuckers viral.
We're going to be in the Gavin McInnes zone.
Oh, I know. Like, look at, you know, he hadn't been on Red Eye in a while.
Let me say this. I believe in transgendered rights, too, okay? There. Now we won't be like Gavin McInnes.
We should be doing this podcast for the podcast for like Talkie Mag.
Oh, if it were Talkie Mag, you know, it'd all be okay. You know?
Actually, in Exorcist 2, did anybody notice that scene with the black possessed kid that there was a bottle of grape soda next to him as well?
Jesus Christ!
Can I tell you, hey, have I ever told you the story?
Not grape soda, it's purple wing, god damn it.
All right.
Stuart, have I ever told you the story? John can verify that this is true because he was in the car when this happened. My one black friend was driving me and John to my mother's house for Thanksgiving one Thanksgiving.
And, she got you to
so innocent, doesn't it?
He does.
And we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner, and I say to John, I go, oh, he thinks a good Thanksgiving dinner would be some fried chickens and some grape soda, and he's like, yes, it would be.
And then he said, yeah, man, Fanta's a shit, man.
Yep.
Is it true? I just want to know one thing before you do that. That Michael Vick, is it true he exports that dead dog meat to Beijing for Obama fried chicken?
It's true.
Oh, really?
Obama fried chicken is
their South Korean branch.
Oh, right. Okay.
Speaking of people eating dogs in China, because my one black friend, I told you he was in China, and he was there with his Chinese wife. And she turns to him. He was telling me the story. She turns to him and goes, oh, you see that restaurant over there? All they serve there is dog.
Really?
Yeah, they actually have restaurants there. They were just like, yeah, we're the dog restaurant. Well, if you come here, you're going to be eating dog.
Jesus.
So, yep.
Andrew Zimmern would enjoy that on his Bizarre Foods little on his show there.
But I got another great story I could tell you.
Please, we're padding out for time. We haven't really got much excess to say.
Okay, because John was over my house, I think, one time, my mother's house for Christmas, and my little sister was there, and my little sister has a black child, and an Escape from Planet of the Apes.
That was Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
I hope nobody we work with that hears this stuff, because we're going to get fired.
And I do an impression of me and John know, and I do an impression of him if he was really, really racist. So I start doing my impression of him, and I go, John, look, and I point to the TV, and I go, look, it's a documentary about Africa. And I did that to make John laugh, and to also piss off my sister with the black child. Right next to me.
She was like, Mom! Gareth's talking about my baby!
What, who's your sister, Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
But that's another true story, John. Oh, God. Story between me and
him. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
That kid's gonna grow up.
Try not to remember those moments.
That kid's gonna grow up and say, you know what? When he has recovered memory sessions going, the worst person in my life was my Uncle Garrow.
I think he already said that now. But listen, everyone listening to this podcast, what I'm saying is not really racist because I'm a Chocta Indian, so I get a free pass, okay?
That's all right.
Yeah.
How's the weather over there, Garrow? Is it cold? Have you got your blanket?
Yeah, it's cold. I got my blanket, but not the one given to me by the government that will poison me and make me sick and kill me. Believe me, I have my own Chocta braided blanket.
All right.
Yeah. Made for me by Elizabeth Warren. She actually...
Yeah, but the threads came from Sierra Leone, so
they are the most authentic engines on the in the Northeast, I think.
Yeah. Me and Elizabeth Warren, where is it? Ian, if you can get when you come into the Northeast.
You guys have cookouts with Ward Churchill.
Yeah, we drink a bio water.
You want to know the great thing? You want to know the great thing about this episode? It hasn't even been edited or dropped yet. We've already got unfollowers.
Yeah. Oh, like it's just like the vibes through the internet.
The ether's picked up on the bad vibes of the show and said,
"Oh, you're gonna have to do some surgery on this one."
No, just the dropouts. That's it. I can't be fucked with the rest. Honestly. I want to out Max Mad Max. That's what I want to do.
You know, just for the cherry on the top of the sundae, what you should do is you should just at the very end play the stuff that was cut out of the other episode.
Oh, I'm compiling that into an episode all on its own.
Yes. Yeah, the worst of that would be a great episode.
And that episode shit is going up on fucking SoundCloud via a private link. That's the only way you'll ever hear it.
Yeah, David Duke's favorite episode.
Yeah.
That episode, I have no regrets.
No, neither do I.
Nope.
No.
I think I stand by everything I said in that episode.
Well, was popular on the downloads.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, John, we didn't get your rating for Exorcist 2.
Oh, I give it a 1. I like the Morricone score, and there's a few visuals that are kind of neat, and that's about... I give it a little bit of credit for Richard Burton, that's about it, because he says evil in his special way at least 7 times.
Evil.
Evil.
Yeah, evil.
You little hussy.
I think he was in an Exorcist ripoff, too, like something called Possessed or something like that.
Where he was just also was
no, he wasn't in that. He was like in some movie where he was like a priest saying evil, like in his special way, like 40 times in the movie.
Yeah, it's like we'll pay you an extra $5,000 every time you say the word evil. It was like evil.
It was almost like a subgenre. It was like the bad Richard Burton movie in the 70s, because there was a lot of there's good ones, and there's like the Wild Geese or the one where he's the psychiatrist trying to help the young guy that likes fucking horses.
Oh, he made a film in New Zealand, did he? Oh, good on him.
Yes. But, there would be the duds, like the Klansmen, that you just knew they had to know it was awful from the get-go. And that one where he's romancing Tatum O'Neill.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was released by World Northall. That the only other stuff they ever released was like Quadrophenia and Shaw Brothers movies.
Do you know why I got rid of that fat pig Liz Taylor? So I'm available now, Tatum.
You know, he banged Gene Bell, star of TNT, Jackson, for like a year.
My God.
Yeah, picked her up because he worked with her on the Klansman. They lived together in at his chateau in Europe.
Gene Bell, is that the woman who played TNT Jackson?
Yeah, she was like the playmate.
Oh, right.
72 or 70, yeah. No. Yeah, Richard,
imagine a bedroom scene. Imagine a bedroom scene between her and him. Come here, chocolate goodness. Oh, you look so evil tonight. Come here, Fried Chicken Jackson, whatever your name was in that film, I've forgotten.
He was quite a womanizer.
Yes. He ran back to Liz Taylor all the time.
No one will suck my dick at the moment, Liz. Let's get married again.
Alright, we've run out of fucking steam. Enough's enough. Alright, I'm going to give Exorcist 2. I'm going to give it a 3 as well. I probably would have given it about a half when I watched it, but I've a bit of reflection has made me think it wasn't as bad as it was. That first 45 minutes was decent until I started with the whole Pazuzu Kukumo friggin' marathon.
45 minutes was torture.
Well, that's where all the reshoots, I think, happened, and supposedly they cut out a scene of the demon destroying a village, so they had this incredible big scene that they just completely cut out of the film, and it's probably why the budget was so high.
Hmm. Okay.
Like it destroys that African village, like a demon went on a rampage.
bit like the Obama administration for the last 6 years, right?
Well, I thought the demon's probably it was probably just James Earl Jones in a cricket suit stomping around like Godzilla. You know?
To be perfectly honest, the demon rampaging through the African village would be less destructive than the Obama presidency.
Canadians all disagree. No, man, he's playing it cool.
Yeah.
Playing it cool.
Anyway, I want to thank Garrow for coming on.
Really? Are you sure?
Always.
Time this goes through editing, 20 minutes. Shortest episode ever.
Yeah. 20 minutes. No, it won't be. If we can get away with the Mad Max episode, we'll be right. We are.
I don't know. I think this might be worse than the Mad Max.
Yeah, I think it might be.
It is. Oh, wait a minute. Because the humor is based towards Americans now, it's bad, but it's based towards Australians. It's like, who cares? It's funny. Leave it in. Oh, is that the way we're playing the game, is it?
Australians aren't people.
You! Fuck off! What are you going to do? All right.
I mean, Australians are so full of guilt, like white people in America, that when you make fun of them, no one cares, you know?
I thought Australians were so full of VB.
They're full of that, too, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah, it's all right. And full of manhood as well. All right, enough's enough. All right, anything else enough's you want to plug? Enough. Oh, now we're talking about 80s hair metal bands. Shut up. All right. Anything else you want to plug, Garrow?
I want to plug Ted Nugent because he wasn't talked about enough in this episode, and I also like to plug Black Oak, Arkansas.
Thank good man right there.
Yeah, you just brought it around and saved the show. Thank goodness for that.
You get it. You totally get it.
Yeah, all right.
Tell Garrow listens to the show.
I do. I'm not one of those fair weather people who don't listen.
Those ones who go, oh, I've still got the last 65 episodes to catch up on. I'd piss off if you don't listen to this show. Don't lie to me.
I listen to everyone because basically you're going to talk shit about me and I need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
He's like, that's mainly. Yeah.
A bit like you chucked or heritage, you want to keep your ear to the ground, right?
Exactly. I need to hear Stuart's brilliant impression of me week after week.
hey, Garrow! Alright, sign off, Ellis.
Hey, I got a sign off I've been working on.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've been workshopping it around town. So you do yours and I'll do mine last and we'll see how it plays.
Adios.
Mahalo.
AIDS. It's not a death sentence anymore.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.